From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
How are you today? It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. We have some programs such as news, news across the country, and Indonesian music, so stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo received former British Prime Minister Tony Blair and SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son. President Jokowi keeps monitoring the evacuation of 188 Indonesians from the World Dream cruise ship. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo received a visit from former British Prime Minister Tony Blair and SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday. Before sharing discussion among the delegation and the government, President Jokowi first invited Tony Blair, who served as executive chairman of the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change, and Masayoshi Son to have a relaxed conversation on the veranda of the State Palace in Jakarta. President Jokowi welcomed the arrival of the two world leaders who will be involved in the construction of Indonesia's new capital.
Welcome to Indonesia, Mr. Tony Blair and Mr. Masayoshi Son with the delegation. I'm pleased to receive your visit to further discuss the development plan for Indonesia's new capital city. Thank you for accepting the offer to be advisory board member on the relocation of the capital city. I'm sure this strong cooperation will further support the establishment of the modern and environmentally friendly capital city.
After meeting President Jokowi, Tony Blair said that he appreciated President Joko Widodo's vision of the existence of the new capital. He will try to cooperate with the best people to be involved in the construction of the new capital.
Now, part of the reason I think that I was asked to be part of this is so that we try and bring in people with the best of class from around the world, whether it's in technology or it's in university or it's in healthcare, whatever it is, so that you create something that is absolutely and identifiably the capital for Indonesia, but is also somewhere where people from around the world want to contribute because they see this as an exciting project.
Meanwhile, SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son stated that his side is in the process of investing in the construction of Indonesia's new capital. Even though it is still in process, Masayoshi Son said that until now, the talks have been going well.
Well, as it comes to investment, we have to always look at the total picture. What is the risk? What is the excitement? We have to look at the total balance, okay? So we have to discuss all kinds of planning. What is the total amount of capital we need? What is the design of the city? What is the population? What is the basic rules and regulations? So we have to look at the total picture, okay? At the end, with the total picture, we decide how much from which entity. But so far, the discussion is going into the right direction. Very exciting and good direction.
Previously, it was reported that President Joko Widodo had invited three international figures as the steering board for the construction of the new capital. The three were Abu Dhabi Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, CEO of SoftBank Masayoshi Son, and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. The selection of these figures is expected to be able to build international trust, making it easier for Indonesia to carry out various collaborations related to the new capital development. Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi confirmed that Umrah pilgrims who had been delayed due to the Saudi Arabia ban would be rearranged with flight schedules at no extra cost. The guarantee was disclosed by Minister Fahrul after attending a coordination meeting among the coordinating Ministry of Human Development and Culture, Ministry of Religious Affairs, Ministry of Transportation, and Ministry of Foreign Affairs, airlines representatives, and a number of Hajj or Umrah organizing associations in Jakarta on Friday. He emphasized that the airline would immediately reschedule the departure of the affected pilgrims. President Joko Widodo continues to monitor the evacuation of 188 Indonesian citizens from World Dream cruise ship in Hong Kong to Sebaru Kecil Island, Seribu Islands in Jakarta. They are the crew of the cruise ship of the World Dream. Presidential spokesman Fajrul Rahman in Jakarta on Friday explained that, on one hand, his side also always gave the latest developments to President Joko Widodo regarding the evacuation of Indonesian citizens. On the other hand, President Joko Widodo also keeps being well informed from Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, and Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Mahfud MD. The government is trying to evacuate hundreds of Indonesian citizens from two cruise ships in which there are positive patients infected with the coronavirus, each of which is 188 Indonesian citizens from the World Dream cruise ship in Hong Kong and 68 Indonesian citizens from the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Yokohama, Japan. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said in Jakarta on Friday that material losses due to the spread of COVID-19 were experienced by many countries, including Indonesia, because a number of governments have adopted policies to close access. Indonesia, in addition to material losses from the tourism sector, travel agents also suffer losses due to Saudi Arabia's policy of suspending Umrah worship services for pilgrims from abroad. He also asked business operators and prospective pilgrims to respect the decision of the government of Saudi Arabia in closing access to his country. To the prospective pilgrims who have not yet departed, Vice Ma'ruf requested to patiently wait for the government of Saudi Arabia to lift the suspension of worship services to the Holy Land, Mecca. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, ensured that the Garuda Indonesia aircraft would pick up Indonesian citizens from the Diamond Princess ship in Japan. As confirmed by CNNIndonesia.com on Friday, he said that he did not specify how many planes would be used to pick up Indonesian citizens, nor did he answer further regarding the exact details of when Garuda would be flown from Soekarno-Hatta Airport to Yokohama. The number of Indonesian crews aboard the Diamond Princess ship reaches 68. The Indonesian government has coordinated with Japan regarding pick-up time. Chairperson of the East Java Regional Craft Council, Arumi Bahsin Emil Dardak, encouraged micro and small medium enterprises UMKM handicrafts and products from Tulung Agung Regency to expand their export markets to foreign countries. At present, the quality of the handicraft products produced is known nationally and internationally. Arumi explained on Friday that the existence of Tulung Agung's typical handicrafts and batik were scattered in various regions throughout Indonesia. By expanding the product's export market, Tulung Agung can increase the regional economic value through handicraft products. Theme Park Disneyland in Tokyo, Japan has been temporarily closed from Saturday to March 15th to prevent the spread of the new corona or COVID-19 in Japan. This was said by the manager of the tourist attraction Oriental Land on Friday. Besides Disneyland Tokyo, Disney Sea's water attraction is also closed starting February 29th. The policy was taken by the manager after the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on Thursday appealed for learning activities in schools to be closed in a bid to anticipate the spread of the virus. On a different occasion, Japan's Minister of Health Katsunobu Kato explained on Friday that there was a possibility that schools would be closed for more than 1 to 2 weeks, depending on the level of spread of the COVID-19 virus in the country. 33 Turkish soldiers were killed in an airstrike by Syrian regime forces in northwestern Syria. Quoted from BBC, on Friday, Governor of Hatay Province, Turkey, Rahmi Dohan, said that there were more people injured in Idlib Province. Turkey is now launching a counterattack against Syrian forces. Syrian forces supported by Russia tried to reclaim Idlib from rebels backed by the Turkish army. The Syrian authorities have so far not commented on the latest escalation in Idlib, Syria's last province which remains in the hands of the opposition. The Turkish military began to re-attack Syria after President Recep Tayyip Erdogan held a high-level security meeting. Turkish leaders want Syrian government forces to withdraw from positions where Turkey has established military observation posts. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern criticized the deportation policy adopted by Australia. In the view of Prime Minister Jacinda, it is very corrosive and has worsened bilateral relations between the two countries. In a press conference with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison in Sydney on Friday, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern strongly urged Australia to revoke the policy. In recent months, Australia has deported thousands of foreign nationals convicted of crime. The move is part of Australia's immigration crackdown. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Manokwari, West Papua. The Ministry of Law and Human Rights of the West Papua Province Regional Office, together with relevant government agencies, anticipate the arrival of a cargo ship from China in Manokwari in the near future. West Papua Legal and Human Rights Representative Office Antonius Ayor Baba said in Manokwari on Wednesday that the ship had come to collect cement from a cement factory plant which currently operates in Maruni, Manokwari. The Manokwari Immigration Office has coordinated with relevant agencies to anticipate the arrival of ships from China where the new coronavirus caused the COVID-19 outbreak. The head of the West Papua Provincial Health Office, Otto Parorongan, previously said that the regional government had been prepared to anticipate the spread of the coronavirus. Supervision is carried out at all entrances such as airports and ports accompanied by a series of health checks. The next news comes from Bualemo, Gorontalo. The participants of the Sulawesi Exploration Tour 2020 were very impressed with the beauty of Pulau Cinta, or Love Island, in Bualomo Regency, Gorontalo Province. With a distance of approximately only 15 minutes from the pier, participants ride a boat that has been prepared by the committee to reach that place. Pulau Cinta is a row of rest rooms set on white sand and in the middle of the sea. One participant, Ari Yulianto, said that so far he had not found a unique and interesting tourist attraction such as Pulau Cinta. Another participant, Yani Nowe, said that the beauty of Pulau Cinta must be maintained, even the facilities had to be added. In the Sulawesi Exploration Tour 2020, which started from a nature adventure by car across four provinces, it has crossed South Sulawesi, Central Sulawesi, Gorontalo, and Manado. The latest news comes from Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Director of the Mandalika Grand Prix Association, Ricky Bahiramsyah, said on Wednesday in Jakarta the process of building the Mandalika circuit in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, which will be used to hold MotoGP races in 2021, has only reached 30%. He estimates that the circuit construction will be completed by the end of this year. Works on Mandalika circuit were just started in early January 2020. There were several reasons that caused the process of building the circuit to be delayed, including the construction of dikes, geotechnical stabilization, and clearing the land from trees. Nevertheless, the Mandalika circuit track is expected to be ready in July before officially being used for the most prestigious motorcycle racing event in the world next season. The Mandalika circuit will later become the first highway circuit in the world to have beautiful views with a 4.31 kilometers track length and 17 turns. Well, that was news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. From Indonesia to the world.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on February 29th, 1996, when Fawcett Flight Accident 251 occurred. Fawcett Flight 251 refers to Boeing 737-200 with the destination of Lima, Arequipa to Tacna. The plane crashed on February 29, 1996, on the way to the Rodriguez Balloon International Airport. 123 passengers and crew on the plane were killed in the accident. This is the deadliest flight accident that occurred in Peru. Next event is that in February 29th, 2004, Jean Bertrand Aristide, president of Haiti, was overthrown. Jean Bertrand Aristide is a Haiti politician and former Roman Catholic priest who became the president of Haiti in 1991 and then re-elected as president from 2001 until his removal in 2004. Aristide is a democratically elected Haitian leader who is popular with poor Haitians. Critics said that he ruled as dictator and corrupt, so he was overthrown by a military coup in September 1991 as was eliminated when a number of former soldiers carried out a revolt on February 29, 2004. His second transfer caused controversy because Aristide claimed that he was forced to leave the country under pressure from the United States and was kidnapped and exiled to a country in Africa. But the US government denied the statement and said that Aristide voluntarily left his country. The last event is that in Tokyo Skytree, the tallest tower in the world was completed on February 29th, 2012. Tokyo Skytree, formerly known as the New Tokyo Tower, is a broadcast observation and restaurant tower in Sumida, Tokyo, Japan. The tower was the tallest structure in Japan in 2010, reaching the final height of 634 meters in March 2011. Making it the tallest tower in the world, surpassing the Canton Tower in Guangzhou, China, and is the second tallest structure in the world after the Burj Khalifa. This tower construction was led by Tobu Railway and assisted by a consortium of six terrestrial broadcasting stations led by NHK. The tower is in the middle of the regional development project between Tokyo Skytree Station and Oshiage Station, about 7 kilometers northeast of Tokyo Station. One function of the tower is to relay radio and television broadcast signals. The tower construction project was completed on February 29, 2012, and opened to the public on May 2012. Listener, that was Today in History.
hatiku padamu. Takkan habis sejuta lagu untuk menceritakan cantikmu. Kan teramat panjang puisi untuk menyuratkan cinta ini. Telah habis sudah cinta ini, tak lagi tersisa untuk dunia. Karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya untukmu. Aku pernah berpikir tentang hidupku tanpa ada dirimu. Dapatkah lebih indah dari yang ku jalani sampai kini? Aku selalu bermimpi tentang indah hari tua bersamamu. Tetap cantik rambut panjangmu, meskipun nanti tak hitam lagi. Bila habis sudah waktu ini, tak lagi berpijak pada dunia. Telah aku habiskan sisa hidupku hanya untukmu. Dan telah habis sudah cinta ini, tak lagi tersisa. Karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya untukmu. Hidup dan matiku bila musim berganti sampai waktu terhenti. Walau dunia membenci, ku kan tetap di sini. Bila habis sudah waktu ini, tak lagi berbicara pada dunia. Telah aku habiskan sisa
was Virgon with his song entitled Surat Cinta Untuk Starla, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are giving you our program, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on State-Owned Enterprises Ministry Developed Subholding Monitoring System. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir reminded that the rank of the ministry officials are only managers and not owners of the company. Therefore, state-owned enterprises management has restriction and cannot be done like managing a private company because it has, as Erick Thohir in the CNBC Economic Outlook event in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 26th. In order to maintain the stability of state-owned enterprises, Erick Thohir said that a system to close the gap for corruption has been built. He said his office had cooperated with the Corruption Eradication Commission, the police, and the prosecutor's office. For supervision and management, Erick Thohir prefers to use the concept of cluster or subholding. he targeted the number of clusters in state-owned enterprises to be under 20, and its deputy minister would oversee 7 to 8 subholding companies. Eric Thohir believes with the concept, state-owned enterprises businesses can be more controlled and competitive so that it can benefit the country. He is optimistic that a well-managed system can reduce corruption. On the same occasion, he also asked the commissioners and directors of state-owned enterprises to help support President Joko Widodo's 5 visions, which include the development of human resources, infrastructure development, simplification of regulation, one of which is the Omnibus Law, bureaucratic implementation, and encouraging economic transformation. Eric Thohir has also asked all state-owned enterprises to obtain ISO 37001 anti-bribery management system certification to improve governance. He reminded that the state-owned enterprises ministry has 5 pillars, namely economic and social value for Indonesia, business model innovation, technology leadership, increased investment, and talent development. Previously, in a working meeting with the House Commission 6 in Jakarta last Thursday, Eric Thohir said that state-owned enterprises have a dual role to fulfill economic value and public service. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on State-Owned Enterprises Ministry Develops Subholding Monitoring System. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the World.
Dalamnya lautan tak bisa diselami, dalamnya hatiku tak bisa dimengerti, dalamnya rasa tak bisa ku pahami. Harus ku yakini hati ini, harus ku yakini cinta ini. Jatuh dalam hatimu, bawalah diriku di dalam.
listen to a song entitled Bawaladaku by Puput, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we are going to give you information about Indonesian tourism and culture in our program, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you Banyan Hill in Trenggalek, East Java. Stay tuned. Trenggalek, which is a city located 200 kilometers away from Surabaya, has various tourism destinations such as beach, cave, and mountain. One of the tourism objects which you must visit if you come to Trenggalek is Banyan Hill at Widoro Village, Gandusari Sub-District, Trenggalek. Banyan Hill, which has an altitude of 1,175 meters, offers amazing sunrise and sunset. If you are enthusiastic about exploring nature, Banyan Hill can be an appropriate choice for your vacation. Listener, you can enjoy four different attractions at Banyan Hill in different times, such as the sunrise. The land above the clouds is another option which you can witness from 5 to 8 a.m. The cloud covering the hill makes the view more exotic both in the morning and in the evening. In addition to the beauty of sunrise, Banyan Hill is also famous for its spot to enjoy sunset. You can witness the beauty of sunset at around 5:30 p.m. At night, you can also witness the beauty of lights reflected from locals' houses. The lights are like the reflection of stars. Getting to Banyan Hill is really easy. You can take public transportation such as car and motorcycle. You also do not need to pay entrance ticket to enter Banyan Hill. If you want to stay at the hill, you can set up a tent there. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Banyan Hill in Trenggalek, East Java. I'm Putri Safit Adela. Thank you for listening.
Turun mengingatkanku pada dirimu. Aku masih di sini untuk setia. Selang waktu berganti, aku tak tahu kau di mana, tapi aku mencoba untuk setia. Sesaat malam datang menjemput kesendirianku, dan bila pagi sini untuk setia. selang waktu berganti. Aku tak tahu engkau di mana, tapi aku mencoba untuk setia. Sesaat malam datang menjemput kesendirianku, dan bila pagi datang ku tahu kau tak di sampingku. Aku masih di sini untuk setia. Aku masih di sini untuk setia. Aku masih di sini untuk setia.
For still listening to our broadcast, and that was one song by Jiku Sik entitled Setia or Loyal. You're still with us in our program. Don't forget, after this, we have our program, Miss Selene.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we will inform you about Indonesian comic debuted in Japan. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. There is no limit to the creativity of Indonesian citizens. One of them is Alex Irzaki, who has officially launched his work in Japan. Alex is one of the makers of manga, or Japanese comics, from Gresik, Indonesia, who officially debuted in Japan through a comic entitled Reformer. This is a stepping stone for Alex to introduce his work on the international scene. Before releasing his work in Japan, Alex had won several manga contests, one of which was Silent Manga Audition, and won first prize. Silent Manga Audition itself is an international manga contest that aims to find and support mangaka from various regions at the international level. He won through his work entitled Excuse Me, which led him to become a member of the Master Class, a group of comic artists or mangaka who had been high school winners. Now, Alex's manga debut in Japan is under the auspices of webcomic Zanyon. The Reformer manga made by Alex is an adaptation of the script made by Toshiaka Yamada. Toshiaka Yamada is a manga artist of The Tactician of the Wind, Kuroda Kanbei, Gifu Dodo, Kaze no Gunshi. The manga Reformer itself tells about the violence that happens to children in the dark side of Japanese community. In addition to the manga Reformer, Alex has also made other manga works such as Just My Another Lucky Day in Kumamoto and Hujan Rindu. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today about Indonesian comic debut in Japan. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Hey. ku lupakan. Kini kau sentuh aku, bukan jatuh cinta, namun aku jatuh hati. Ku terpikat pada tutumu, aku tersihir ciummu, terkagum pada pandangmu, caramu melihat dunia. Ku harap kau tahu bahwa ku terinspirasi hatimu. Ku tak harus memilikimu, tapi bolehkah ku selalu di dekatmu.
Thank you for still joining us, and that was one song by Raisa entitled Jatuh Hati. Don't forget, after this, we have our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Fajar Bhakti. Fajar Bhakti, an original and solemn keroncong song. It tells about a beautiful morning in a village on the edge of a hill. When the sun begins to rise, the male, female, young and old farmers, all of them are ready to go to the fields and gardens. They welcome the morning happily. Blazing sun does not dampen his enthusiasm to fight for happiness together. Listener, here is Sri Widadi with a keroncong song entitled Fajar Bhakti. Have a nice listening.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was our program, and don't forget to give us our feedback to our email address voi@voinews.id, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia. I'm Amanda, thank you so much and have a nice day.